We're going to look to the word of the Lord tonight, and so you may be seated. We're gonna look into the word of the Lord. We do want to say how happy we are to have Brother and Sister Sims here today from the state of Illinois. God bless them. Brother Dale Sims is a fellow student with Brother Enos at Apostolic Bible Institute, St. Paul, Minnesota. So good to have you here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Amen. God bless them. And we are looking to the word of the Lord this evening, and we're going to continue in a series that we started, or just basically a sequel to what we began a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to be talking again about the life of Moses. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about learning to endure, lessons from the life of Moses. Tonight, we're going to be talking about standing still, lessons from the life of Moses. And I want to turn your attention to the book of Exodus chapter 14. This will be our basis for a scriptural text for what we'll be talking about tonight. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. And this concept of standing still is very beautifully depicted in this passage of scripture, Exodus 14, beginning at the 10th verse. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Praise God. And we're talking today about standing still, lessons from the life of Moses. So I want to talk to you about this, because standing still is a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier preached than practiced. And how is something like standing still, how is that a great stance of faith? How does that in any way demonstrate faith, when faith is very clearly expressed in and throughout the scriptures as an act, as works? Faith without works is dead, James said. And so here we are talking about standing still. We're literally talking about lack of mobility, if you please. Now, there's some mobility in standing still, but in terms of the pronouncement of such a thing, the command to stand still, how in the world does that express faith? So we want to talk about that, because it is, in fact, one of the very powerful ways that you can advance in God, many times by simply standing still. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And we're going to use Moses' life as the template for what this means. Of course, the passage of scripture that we're using as our text finds Moses and the children of Israel at the threshold of what would become probably, if not the most, one of the most significant miracles in Israel's history. This miracle of the parting of the Red Sea would be recounted over and over throughout Israel's history, even up unto this day. When we talk about the waters parting, that's a term that can be used even in our common vernacular. If the waters part, and it's a reference to this great account in the scriptures, and it means, if a miracle happens when it's not foreseeable that anything good could take place, and it's a reference back to this moment, but they're at this threshold and they're getting ready to cross over the Red Sea. Now, they need to get beyond the Red Sea. The interesting thing about it is that God gave them the map. God gave them the directions. It was GPS, God's positional satellite, and it was he knew that this Red Sea was going to be there. He knew that this was the obstacle that was in their path. And so God's map, God's design, God's plan involved a moment where they would not be able to proceed without a miracle. And I will tell you that all of God's maps, designs, plans, and so forth will bring you to particular intervals where you will not be able to proceed without a miracle. If your plan does not involve a point at which there will need to be a miracle, there's a really good chance you devised that plan and God did not. So don't be surprised when you are in the midst of a plan and you've set out, you've launched out into the deep, you took a step of faith, and we think we take a step of faith, but we've got it all mapped out just exactly right. We're sometimes surprised when something goes wrong. This step of faith involved a point at which they would absolutely come to the end of themselves and need God to intervene. And every plan for your life from God will involve a point at which it will require a miracle. All of his messianic plans. Do you know how many of those mothers in the lineage that led up to the birth of Jesus, how many of them had barren wombs? How many were, it was impossible for them to have children? How, in fact, Jesus' mother herself, it was impossible for her, being a virgin, to be able to bring forth a child. And yet God operates through the miraculous. So we don't need to get frustrated, even though our human emotion tends to do that when we face a situation that requires a miracle. We just need to know that that's how God operates. This is going to require a miracle. And it did. They required a miracle. And they started immediately saying, we should have never left Egypt. That's what we do when we face those miracle moments. We immediately start saying, I never should have launched out. I never should have listened to Moses. I never should have, never should have, never should have, coulda, woulda, shoulda. You can go on and on with that. But you did, didn't you, Israel? You launched out from Egypt, and I'm sorry, regardless of what your flesh tells you, it is not better for you to serve the Egyptians. Even if you were to be in the wilderness, it is not better for you to serve the Egyptians. And so they started saying that it would be better for us to have served the Egyptians than for us to have left the Egyptians and die in the wilderness. And so we always think back to that moment when we took that step of faith and we think, I never should have done this and I never should have done that. And so that's where Israel was. And they were complaining. And according to the passage of scripture that we read, Moses looked at them. Now here's what they know. They know that Egypt is coming upon them. Egypt is going to capture them or kill them. They're going to either kill them in the wilderness or they're going to capture them and they're going to make it 100 times worse than it was back in Egypt. It is a bad situation. And it does look bad on Moses. It looks like Moses just didn't have a plan. And all he was doing was following the path of God. And so as he's standing at the Red Sea, he looks to the people and he gives them 2 commands. And then he gives them a promise. The 2 commands are these. Fear ye not. And stand still. Okay, I called this standing still, but I need to go ahead and tell you, you will not be able to stand still until you deal with fear. Before you're able to stand still, you're going to have to deal with fear. Now, the scripture teaches us that perfect love casts out fear. That's one of the reasons why this past week we made such an emphasis about the love of God, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ. We talked about what were we doing? We were trying to help you to understand from the Word the perfect love of God. This is what we're doing when we reach out to one another and we minister to one another and we demonstrate love to one another, forgive one another, and bear one another's burdens. What we're doing there is we're demonstrating not just from the word, but we're demonstrating through deed the perfect love of God. And it is that perfect love that will cast out fear. You have to go back to the cross in order to deal with fear. You have to go back to the power of the blood to deal with fear. You got to go back to knowing that it's the Lord who has done the work on your behalf in order to deal with fear. Fear ye not, he said, and then stand still. And what happens? You see the salvation of the Lord. Now, we know that the salvation of the Lord, it simply means Jesus. We talked about that Sunday. The Lord has become my salvation. So Moses was actually telling them, stand still and you will see Jesus. And what he was telling them was that what's getting ready to happen with this Red Sea is what's getting ready to happen, is what's going to happen when Messiah comes. And that is what happened. We walk through on dry ground, the waters part. We're all baptized into the cloud. We're all baptized into the sea. And when we're baptized into the sea, that's where, when we come up onto the other side and the enemy is cast into the sea, the horse and the rider hath he cast into the sea, that's when your past is covered up by the waters you were just baptized into. It's washed away. It's covered by the blood. It's put under the blood of Jesus. I've always been interested to know that it was a red sea and it's a crimson stream. I don't know, that's just always been appealing to me, that the same crimson stream that washes my bondage away is the similar to the Red Sea that took care of the bondage of Israel. So they experienced this great experience, and so that's how they would see the salvation of the Lord. But I want you to know that when you fear not and you stand still, God can operate in that context and save you from whatever it is you need salvation from. He can step into your circumstances and turn them around. And it requires standing still, and standing still requires fearing not. So let's talk a little bit about Moses, okay? Moses learned how to stand still. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read from the 10th verse, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10. Here's something that you need to know about Moses. Moses tended to take things into his own hands. Now, when you don't stand still, you will end up taking things into your own hands. And you're going to create problems for yourselves. And here's what happens. There's a little term we call getting out ahead of your skis. And that means you're going out in front of what you can handle. And when you get out in front of your skis, or you get the proverbial cart in front of the horse, in other words, you're getting things out of order. And you're somewhere you ought not be. You've gone down the road and you didn't wait on God. Exodus chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. The child grew, talking about Moses, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. He looked this way. He looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So Moses had a pretty sketchy past. This is one of the reasons why he was on the backside of a desert, because he didn't want anybody to recognize his face from the wanted poster in Egypt. And so he had a pretty sketchy past. He hid the Egyptian in the sand. Ladies and gentlemen, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known, Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Moses tended to take things into his own hands. When you go without God, you will take things into your own hands. And this is what Moses saw. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he having Hebrew blood, him being Hebrew, but raised among the Egyptians, but he was raised up in the house of Jochebed, his mother. At least she nursed him, and he had a connection to both cultures. And he looks at this Hebrew that's getting beat, and the injustice of it all overwhelmed him. He ran into the middle of the fray, looked this way, looked that way, killed the Egyptian, hid him in the sand, thought nobody knew, but they did, and then he took the justice into his own hands. And let me tell you something. Injustice can be so infuriating and so enraging that it can cause you to step into things that you will get ahead of yourself in. And you have to let God be God. And the scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so the Bible tells us to do justly. Yes, it does. But it also tells us to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. And all three of those things are important. If you only love mercy, you'll be out of balance. And if you only do justly, you'll be out of balance. And the way you can do both is to walk humbly before the Lord. When you walk humbly before God, it will help you to do justly and to love mercy. And it'll give you the proper balance and the approach as to how to handle certain things that you wish you could take them into your own hands. But that's not how you're going to be most effective if you take it into your own hands. You have to let God be God. And so Moses learned this created problem for his life. Now, God ended up using it, and I'll tell you that God can use even your mistakes. God can use your mistakes to benefit his kingdom. God can use where you raged and where you got enraged. He can go back. If you'll give it all to him, he can go back and use it for his glory. But it's going to lead you into a path where when the children of Israel are saying to him, it's better that we were to have stayed in Egypt than to have come out into this wilderness and die. Moses looked at them, and from experience, he said to them, stand still. Stand still. I know you feel like hope is gone, but just stand still. I know you feel like there's nothing you can do to advance and go forward, but stand still. I know you think you've made a mistake that will now, that by leaving Egypt, that now you're going to end up dying at the hands of the Egyptian army. But stand still. He learned the value of standing still. And here's what happens when you stand still. Standing still does not mean nothing gets done. Standing still means you take your hands off of it and God fights on your behalf. Hallelujah. God fights on your behalf. Let me tell you that you want God to fight for you. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. I want to take you back there, and I want to point out what he said to them. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, that is a powerful visual image. It means that in the middle of this terrifying set of circumstances, I am not going to let go of my peace. I have peace, and I'm going to hold on to it. I have peace that passes understanding. I have a peace that will substantiate my soul. And if I will let the Lord fight for me, then I get to hold on to my peace. Now, the antithesis of that is also true. If I start fighting for me, then I I release my peace in the process. And I let my peace go. I don't hold my peace. I'm gonna let my peace go in that process. I'm gonna release my peace. And that's when you start giving people a peace of your mind. And that's when you start laying your hands on situations. And like Moses, you're gonna right this wrong. And I just come to tell you that when the Lord begins to fight your battle, he's going to right every wrong that needs to be righted. He's going to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And when he's done, it will have been done perfectly well. And you are and guess who's going to be, now this isn't why we do it, but I'm going to tell you how, what's going to happen. Guess who's going to be elevated and promoted in the process? It's going to be the person who held on to their peace. You want to know why? Because by doing so, they demonstrated an ultimate faith in God. I'm going to stand still. And you say, but I got to do something. Just stand still. You're going to learn what to do by standing still. It's not that you won't do anything. It's just that standing still allows time for you to hear clearly from God as to what to do. You will do something, but you don't want to do it on your own accord. You don't want to do it of your own volition. You want everything you do to be led by God and not by your own logical conclusion. So let's look at what the Lord said to Moses to do. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Uh-oh, I've got a word from the Lord now. He said we're going to go forward. And then you look back over the Red Sea, and I've actually snorkeled in the Red Sea. I'm going to tell you, dry land or no dry land, that'd be a tough dry ground to walk on because it is full of coral. It's not an easy terrain. Even if it's dry ground, they still had quite a walk to take when they walked through on the dry ground. But the Lord said, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. And here's what you do, Moses. Are you ready? Lift thou up thy rod and stretch thine hand over the sea and divide it. It wasn't even that much that Moses had to do. It wasn't that much. And you're gonna find that when you stand still and you fear not, you're gonna find out it's not really that much you're gonna actually have to do. All you've gotta do is do everything he tells you to do. Praise God. And Moses, Moses was like, oh man, I guess Noah built an ark. I guess I'm gonna have to build an ark. And I better do it quick because the Egyptians are coming. And what do I do? How do I do it? And when you stand still and wait on the Lord, you're going to find out you're not going to have to do much because the Lord is going to fight your battles. And this is what the Lord said to do. Lift up your rod. Lift up your rod. Now, this rod was well proven. And the Lord told him before he called him to go to Egypt, he said, what's in your hand? That's all he had in his hand was his rod. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. It turned into a serpent. The Lord said, pick it up by the tail. He picked it up by the tail, turned back into a rod. He was letting him know everything you need, you've already got. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let me tell you that everything you need, you've already got. If you've got the blood of Jesus covering your life, everything you need, you've already got. You hear me now. If you've got to talk and walk with Jesus, you've got what you need right now. And he picked up that rod, and you know what he did with that rod? He threw it back down in the middle of Pharaoh's court. It swallowed up the serpents of Janus and Jambres. You know what he did with that rod? He put it in the waters of Egypt and turned the water into blood. He used that rod all throughout the plagues of Egypt, and now God is telling him to do something different with it, and it was simply to lift it up. Just lift it up. Lift it up over the water and stretch your hand out over the sea and divide it, And there was a miracle that took place. But he would have never known what to do had he not taken the time to stand still. Standing still by putting faith in God sets you into a context of presence. Okay? When God said to Moses, I am, that's one of the reasons why Moses knew to stand still. Is because God told him, I am. That's my name, I am. It means I exist. It means to exist. It means self-existent is what it really means. And he was saying, I exist, I am. That's my name. And it's really fascinating when you get into the name of God. We talked about it a little bit on Sunday. But when you really get into the Hebrew name of God, we have made efforts to try to pronounce that name. So they've added vowels, and we've given it its consonant sounds, but in reality, it's really just the sound of breath. It really is just Yehoah is his name, Yehoah. It's a breath. It's an inhale and an exhale is what it means to exist. And that is the name of God. I am. I exist. I am. I am the self-existent God. I am not created. I was not originated by anybody. I just simply exist. That's who I am. When you stand still, you are settling yourself into the self-existence of God. And you're letting everything else do whatever else it wants to do. And it doesn't matter what any of it wants to do, because I'm standing here in the very presence of God. Hallelujah. Paul said it this way, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ, that's where you are. You're in the I am. You're in the existence of God. You're in the self-existence of God. You are in the being of God. That word being, it's present language. Do you know that the past doesn't exist? Did you know that? Do you know the past doesn't exist? It happened, but it doesn't exist anymore. Try to go back to the past. No, don't do that. I'm going to try to prevent you from doing that. Because here's what happens when we try to go back to the past. We try to relive glory days. We don't need to relive glory days. We just need the glory. Or we go back and we regret. We regret, we regret, we regret. And it's one of the things that the devil tries to do to hamper you and haunt you and torment you, is to make you regret the past or make you want to relive the past. You can't relive the past. You can't go back and change things that happened way back when. All you can do is deal with where you are. The future doesn't even exist yet. It's not something that has transpired yet. We know not what a day may bring forth. The future has not yet occurred, but the I am exists. Hallelujah. He said before Abraham was, I am. And he said that I am, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. You can't go into the future and find him. That's what Job tried to do. He said, I try to go forward, can't find him. I go backward and he's not there. I go to the left hand where he doth work and I cannot find him. I go to the right hand and he's nowhere to be found. He's hiding himself from me. But he knoweth the way that I take. He knows where I am. Because that's all you've got is the present. That's all you've got. Because eternity is a perpetual present. That's why we call it the presence of God. Because he lives, it's a perpetual moment. It's a perpetual being. And that's why we're human beings. We are in a state of being. And this body is getting older because it's connected to time. And time is this space and this span where we get to make up our mind whether we're going to serve the Lord or not. And it was created by God in the midst of the 7 days of creation, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars for seasons and days and weeks and years. And he created time. But God operates outside of time. And when you stand still, you're standing where God operates. You are actually stepping outside of time and into the powers of where God operates. And so there can be a lot of stuff go on around you, but it's okay. I'm standing where I need to stand. Where? Still. Standing still. This is what Joshua did when he said, "Son, stand thou still." And when the Bible says that the sun stood still, and now there was all kinds of stuff that went on while time stopped. When time stopped, all kinds of stuff was, people were still running around, stuff was still happening, people are still engaged, but time has just on pause for a little while Joshua continues to win the victory. When you stand still, you're going to win the victory. So how do you stand still? You first deal with the fear. You fear not. When you begin to fear not, you're going to now be able to stand where God would have you stand. And this is where Moses began to learn about it. Now, Moses, we read about where Moses got ahead and he was going to take justice into his own hands, and he was going to take vengeance into his own hands, and he was going to right this wrong, and it created a lot more problems than it helped. And that's what happens when we don't wait on God, when we don't stand still. Now, in Exodus chapter 4, the Bible describes where Moses got the timing off in a different way. The Lord had told him that it was time for the children of Israel to be circumcised, and his own son had not been circumcised. And so Moses was about to be judged by God for that. If it weren't for his wife, Zipporah, who took care of it, in his negligence. And so we see here where he doesn't get ahead of God, he's lagging behind God. He's got the timing off. Now, there's a difference between patience and procrastination. And they can look alike and they can feel alike, but there's a difference between patience and procrastination. When God says go forward, go forward. When God says, go ye into all the world. When God begins to give his direction and make it clear, the time for standing still is past, and now it's time to move forward. God gave Moses the command concerning circumcision. He did not take care of his own household. The Lord was going to judge him. It was because of his wife that did not happen. So there are times where God gives you a directive and you, in the name of standing still, are actually just procrastinating. And we want to be careful with that. If God tells you to be baptized in Jesus' name, be baptized in Jesus' name. And I got news for you. He told you to be baptized in Jesus' name. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is why we don't want to put it off or wait or postpone. The moment you believe, be baptized. Amen. And so it is that you don't want to get involved with procrastinating in the name of patience. But you do want to learn the art of standing still and knowing when to move and knowing when not to move. Look at Exodus chapter 33. At verses 12 through 15. Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 15. The word of the Lord says this: And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he, the Lord, said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now notice what Moses said in verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, Lord, if you're not going to be there, please don't carry us up hence. Don't take me somewhere you're not going to be. Moses had learned the value of standing still. He had learned the value of letting the Lord fight the battle. He had learned how to stand in Pharaoh's court and not know what God was going to do next. But he learned how to follow the Lord's leading and guidance and instruction and direction. And I'm going to tell you that when you let God be God, you're going to be pleased with the outcome. When it's all said and done, you're going to be blessed of the Lord. When it's all said and done, your coffers are going to be full and running over. When it's all said and done, you're going to have grown in favor with God and with men. When it's all said and done, you're going to be able to say, I let the Lord do it. And when you let the Lord do it, it's going to be done perfectly well. Hallelujah. People will try to make you act ahead of hearing from God. Don't let them do that. You've got to hear from God. And when the Lord speaks, don't be afraid to act. Don't be afraid to step forward. Don't be afraid to take that step. But until you hear from God, you need to know, I'm going to stand still and I'm going to wait on the Lord. We've talked about time and we've talked about God outside of time. God outside of time, we call him, he's the Father. When he steps into time as that babe in a manger, he's the only begotten Son of God. And he is, when you see the Son praying to the Father, you're not looking at two separate persons. You're looking at God in time agreeing with what has been established in eternity. And this is what we have to do. We have to deal with the challenges of time and be in agreement with what is established in eternity. Don't let the challenges that exist in time prevent you from experiencing the blessings of eternity. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the blessings of eternity. I live forever when we're talking about eternity. When we're talking about eternity, I am at peace. When we're talking about eternity, I am whole and never growing old. When I am in eternity, I am in a great cloud of witnesses. When I am in eternity, hallelujah, I have a love and an experience with God that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. And when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm talking about having a view of eternity. I refuse to let the challenges of time, which are fleeting, which are so temporary, I refuse to let the challenges relative to time to prevent me from stepping into the blessings of eternity. Hallelujah. There's a table spread where the saints of God are fed. The master calleth now, come and dine. That's the city where I'm going, ladies and gentlemen. And how do I get there? When time is filled with swift transition. How do I get to that place when I'm dealing with the challenges of getting older and I'm dealing with the challenges of suspended blessings and patience and problems and persecution and sickness and sorrow and sadness? I'll tell you how you do it. Here's how you beat time. Wait. Hallelujah. Wait. The Lord said through the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. Do you know one of the reasons that people are not convinced of the existence of God is because they've never been still long enough for him to prove himself. I heard someone just today make the statement that they are a cultural Christian, not a believing Christian. And this is what they said. They said, I'm a cultural Christian, not a believing Christian. They're a renowned atheist who have lived their lives trying to prove that God does not exist. But this is what they said. they said, I actually think of myself as a cultural Christian. And what they meant by that was, they said, Christian culture is the best culture. I don't believe any of it, but I don't want Christian culture to change because that's where there's harmony and there's peace and there's hope. And it was one of the saddest things I've ever heard. It was somebody saying, I want all the blessings that come from believing in God. I just don't want to believe in Him. And it's a sad, sad thing. This is an individual who has never been still long enough to let God show Himself great. But I wonder if there's anybody here who has ever been in a position where you were at a crossroads of whether I put my hand on it or whether I'm just going to let God take care of it. And how many have found that when you let God take care of it, He stepped in and He took care of the whole situation. Not just the thing you were trying to deal with. He took care of the physical. He took care of the spiritual. He took care of the emotional. He took care of the mental. He took care of the legal. He took care of the financial. He took care of all of it. Hallelujah. That's because He's God and we're not God. And when you let God take care of it, not one thing will go undone. Be, that's the word, be. That goes back to being. Be. It's present language. It's I am language. Be still. You've got to stand in eternity with the Lord. You know that's where you go when you pray. There's a reason it's a sweet hour of prayer. When you pray, you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And you're there alone with God. Don't ever stop praying. You can pray through anything. You can pray through anything. I remember Brother J.T. Pugh, he was up early one morning about 5:30 in the morning. He went to the church to pray, and he was praying there at the church that he pastored, and he sought God, and oh, he said it was just one of the most beautiful experiences that he had ever had with God. He stood there basking in the glory and in the presence of the Lord for about an hour, and then he went home. And he got a little cup of coffee, and the phone rang, and he answered the phone, and there was a voice on the other end, and the other end of the phone was a man who said, Brother Pugh, you don't know me. He said, I attend Brother Jerry Dean's church in Bossier City, Louisiana. He said, I just want to tell you that between 5:30 and 6:30 this morning, I was in prayer. And while I was in prayer, God took me by vision into His throne room. And I stood there in the presence of the Lord, and I enjoyed the glory of God and the presence of God. He said, and while I stood there in His presence, basking in His presence, I looked to my right, and you came walking in, and you were there with me, and we were both there in the presence of God for a period of time. Now, Brother Pugh knew that he had experienced a touch from God, but his physical eyes couldn't perceive what it was that he was experiencing. But I want you to know that's what you're experiencing when you pray. You're stepping into the throne room of God. You're stepping into the glory of God. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Don't be afraid to pray. Step into prayer. Step into worship. Step into praise. You depart a little bit from this rat race. You depart for a little while from all of this goings on, and time stands still. Hallelujah. And the sun stands still. Hallelujah. And you stand still, and you have victory in Jesus. You have victory in Jesus. Do you not know what to do next? Take some time to pray. Take some time to stand still. I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. I just can't fit it into my schedule. Then you need to fix your schedule. You've got other things that have prioritized your time, and they've become idols to you, and they are robbing you. Right now, they're robbing you of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've got to fix that or you'll get more discouraged than you've ever been, and you'll continue to battle depression, and you'll continue to battle feelings of self-defeat, and you'll continue to believe the lie of the devil that all hope is lost, and you'll begin to believe the lie of the devil that there's no reason to keep on living. You've got to step into the throne room of your heavenly Father. You have to hear his voice say to you, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You have to hear God say that. You can hear me say that, and it will have a certain effect, but you've got to hear God say it. Your heart has to perceive the Lord saying those words to you. Hallelujah, and that can only happen in prayer. So how do you beat time? Let's look to Psalm 27. Hallelujah. And I want to get into this psalm for just a minute. Psalm 27, a beautiful psalm, the very first line of it. The Lord is my light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was here, ladies and gentlemen, that light, glory to God, that shines above the brightness of the sun. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now that actually happened, ladies and gentlemen. His enemies and foes came upon him to eat up my flesh, and they stumbled and fell. How many remember when the enemy was so close? You could feel death. You could feel defeat. You could feel the end of it all. But something happened. How are you even here tonight? I said, how are you even here tonight? How are you here clothed and in your right mind? Do you remember when you thought you'd lose your mind? Do you remember when you thought you would lose your sanity because there was no way out of this mess, and yet you're here tonight? Do you remember when you were at death's door, but you're here tonight? Do you remember when you thought you'd never recover from the heartbreak, from the heartache, from the grief and from the pain, but here you stand. Your enemies came upon you to eat up your flesh, but they stumbled and they fell. They stumbled and they fell. That's what happens when you wait on God. Your enemy can be advancing on you with the most advanced technological weaponry. Your enemy can be advancing on you with all the goods on you. Your accuser can come against you with a ferocity that you don't think you could ever recover from. And out of nowhere, there will come a stumbling of your enemy. I'm telling you, if you put your faith in God and you stand still, your enemy will stumble. I feel something. I got to tell you right now, you have begun to have more faith in your enemy than you do in God. You have begun to believe that the devil has a greater advantage over you than God has the ability to protect you. And I rebuke that lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. He has expressed to you something about himself that is not true. He is a liar. He is the accuser of the brethren. You've got to remember that. He accuses the brethren day and night, day and night, day and night. That's why you've got to meditate in the law of God day and night. You got to hear the voice of God day and night. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, stand still. Get up in the morning and get you a word for every day. Get you a word for every day. Get up in the morning and enter his gates with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and for your blessings. I praise you and magnify your name. Praise him. Be careful with that, because you'll start praising him and won't want to get out of it. Some praise would be so good you'll want to quit your job. I don't even know if I'm going. Don't do that. Just praise him on the way to work. Whistle while you work. Amen. But get that word, and then open up your Bible. Once you've entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, open up your Bible and just read wherever you feel led to read. If you've got a Bible reading plan, do the Bible reading plan. But if you're just feeling something in the Holy Ghost, amen, and you look over at the clock and it says 8:28, go to Romans 8:28 and start reading right there. Just start somewhere and let God give you some daily bread. Let him put in your hand a word that will stand with you all day long. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here it is. He shall be like a tree planted. Woo! I'm talking about standing still, folks. Planted. No, I'm not moving. I'm standing still, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah. Day and night. So get up in the morning, get you a word, and that's going to be the word that you battle the accusations of the enemy with throughout the day. The accuser of the brethren will sit perched on your ear and whisper words of defeat to you all day long. And what it's gonna feel like you're thinking it, because he's gonna be saying things he's been saying to you since you were a child. He's gonna be saying things to you that he's been saying to you since before you even could think about it, and reinforce feelings you have against yourself. And he's gonna make you think it's your thoughts, and he's gonna make you think it's God's feelings toward you, and he's gonna make you think that it's the way other people see you, and it's all a lie. And you've gotta get that word so that when the enemy comes in, he stumbles and falls. You just use that word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You gotta have a word every day. And before you go to bed, because he's gonna do it day and night, before you go to bed, take some time and worship the Lord and thank him for the day. Get another little midnight snack, glory to God. Before you go to bed, open up this book and get another midnight snack and say, oh, I'm gonna take that and live on that and sleep on that, hallelujah, and go to bed on that and have my mind covered with that word from God. Glory! I'm telling you, the devil will try to come to you in your dreams and accuse you. The devil will try to come into your dreams and try to drag you down so that when you wake up in the morning, you're starting off on the wrong foot. And then you're all day trying to figure out if that was God or what that was. And God can speak through dreams, but so can the enemy. And so can the pizza. So don't get too sensational about it. You just walk with God. Stand still. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to let anything break the covenant I have with God. I pray, I read my Bible, I go to church, I love my neighbor as myself, I reach for the lost, I preach the word, I teach the word. I'm not letting anything break that routine. I'm standing still. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That happened. Now he moves to the hypothetical. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. So many times we are fearful of the hypothetical. But we should not be fearful of the hypothetical, because we have testimony that God is good. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And here he's going to talk about what I've been trying to say to us. Get into that place where the I am is, and be still. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You know, I think this is pretty amazing. I want to know what David's going to seek after. One thing, if there's one thing I desire, what is it? To be a better harpist? To be a better giant slayer? To be the best king that ever lived? To have a bigger throne? No, that's not what he wanted. This is what he wanted. He said, one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Yeah, I'll kill a giant on the side, but I'd rather just dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Yeah, I'll drive out evil spirits with my skillful playing on the harp. Yeah, I'll do that on here and there, but I'd rather just dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen, your talent doesn't define you. Your skills don't define you. Your tradesmanship doesn't define you. Your abilities don't define you. That's not what we seek after. We seek after standing still in the presence of the Lord. Dwell in the house of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Inquire in his temple. He goes on to say, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, standing still in the presence of the Lord. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, standing still in the presence of the Lord. He shall set me up upon a rock, standing still in the presence of the Lord. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me. He's describing one of the most catastrophic, terrible circumstances of life. And he's reaching all the way down there and saying, I'm not even going to worry about it because then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Standing still because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here it is. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Okay? Two commands and then a promise. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And here's the promise. He shall strengthen thine heart. You know what that means? That means he's going to strengthen the seat of your feelings. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said it twice. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands unto the Lord in this house. God's going to give you the power to wait on him, okay? Let's stand to our feet right now all across this house. God's going to give you the power to wait on him. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. He's going to give you the power and the patience to wait on him. Be of good courage. Fear ye not. Stand still. He's going to strengthen your heart. He's going to strengthen your heart. Hallelujah. I need somebody right now who needs your heart to be strengthened. Just to lift up your hands and your voice unto the Lord. You're dealing with some stuff. God, I need my heart to be strengthened. You're feeling some things. You're struggling with what you're feeling. It's your feelings. It's your feelings. My Lord, have mercy. I know we worship God in spite of our feelings, but God's going to strengthen your feelings. He's going to strengthen your feelings. He's going to make you feel better. Ah, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's going to brighten your perspective. You're going to see the day a little more clearly. Hallelujah. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need somebody who just hadn't been feeling very good lately. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I need you to reach out to God right now and say, God, I'm having trouble living with these feelings. My feelings are getting at me. They're getting at me. They're keeping me awake at night. I feel fearful. I feel. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Hallelujah. Come on. That's it. He's going to strengthen your heart right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice unto him right now. He's going to strengthen your heart in the name of Jesus. Ha ha. Woo! Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this place. The Holy Ghost is in this place. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Something's about to shift in your life. Something's about to shift in your life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm opening up these altars if you want to come. I want somebody to come right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, that's it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I need somebody who once was strong, and you need to feel strong again. You don't feel very strong right now. You know you've got the Holy Ghost. You know that the Word of God is true, but you just don't feel very strong. God's going to renew your strength in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, and He'll renew your strength. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And He'll renew your strength.
Hallelujah. Facing something right now you can't do anything about. I need somebody that's facing something you can't do anything about. I want you to reach out to God right now and say, God, I need you. I need you right now, Lord. I can't do anything about this, and I need you. Or at least you don't feel released to do anything about it. That too. I want you just to reach out to God right now, because He's going to give you the strength that you need. He's going to give you the strength that you need. Yes, He is. He's going to give you a peace, and you're going to rest well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He giveth His beloved sleep. Yes, He does. He giveth His beloved sleep. You're going to rest better. Yes, you are. You're going to rest better. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to feel better in the name of Jesus. Come on, release it to God. Release it to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Release it to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Release it to God. Release it to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord. Yes, Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And He'll renew. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, that's it. That's it. Reach out to Him. Reach out to Him. Reach out to Him.